And following on from this short talk, we're going to be breaking bread together. And if you normally take communion in your own church and you are in fellowship with your brothers and sisters in Christ, then please feel free to share in that taking bread and wine, which is not a ritual. It is a response to the love of God and our commitment to go on following. If you haven't yet made that decision, that choice to follow Jesus, then please just continue in your thinking and your reflecting as you're with us. I'm going to read a passage that we've read before, and within it it's actually got our memory verse for the moment. And Peter is writing, and he says this in chapter 2. Live as free people. Do not, however, use your freedom to cover up any evil, but live as God's slaves. Respect everyone. Love your fellow believers. Honour God and respect the emperor, or we might say all the powers, the state that there is. You servants must submit to your masters and show them complete respect, not only to those who are kind and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. God will bless you for this if you endure the pain of undeserved suffering because you are conscious of his will. Very difficult for people under oppression, obviously. For what credit is there if you endure the beatings you deserve for having done wrong? But if you endure suffering even when you have done right, God will bless you for it. It was to this that God called you, for Christ himself suffered for you and left you an example so that you would follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no one ever heard a lie come from his lips. When he was insulted, he did not answer back with an insult. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but placed his hope in God, the righteous judge. Christ himself carried our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. Disappeared. It is by his wounds that you have been healed. You were like sheep that have lost their way, but now you have been brought back to follow the shepherd and keeper of your souls. Did I give you too short a passage, Balaji? It's not the operator, it's the pastor. That will keep you awake. This is the verse that we've been learning. Let's either do it from memory. Won't ask Wano if she can still remember it. or read it. It was to this that God called you, for Christ himself suffered for you and left you an example so that you would follow in his steps. Okay, you've got it in there. Anybody else want to try it? We've got one prize to give later. Anybody else ready to do it? You could read it off there, but we'd make you shut your eyes. Lola's learning it. Right, next week will be your last chance because we need to give a prize on Pentecost Sunday, which is next Sunday, which Liz was leading us to in the reflection. It's not because Ascension happened last Thursday. It's not because Pentecost happened next Sunday. It's just a day to remember those key events which are so important. But we should always be waiting for Pentecost and experiencing Pentecost and experiencing, as Liz led us, resurrection and experiencing Ascension. And those are things not just that Jesus did, but how, the question Liz asked, does that affect me, that I'm part of a resurrection people, that I'm part of a people where Jesus ascended on high, he led captivity captive, he poured out his gifts, he ascended to fill the whole universe, the universe that we can't even mention. He is way beyond that. This is Jesus, and here is a picture of a dumb sheep. I'm sorry to sheep, which is very insulting. On the day of my ordination here as pastor, I was given a picture of a sheep, which has sat on my filing cabinet or near my desk for many years. A person said to me, Julia Cameron, a very dour Scot, this is to remember on the days when the sheep really annoy you, that we're all just dumb sheep, really. and you don't be insulted, but you are the little flock. Fear not, little flock, with the Lord as the shepherd. And he has left us an example, Peter writes. In that same chapter where we read, verse 23, the last verse says this: "You were like sheep that had lost their way, but now you have been brought back to follow the shepherd and keeper of your souls." Or it could read shepherd and bishop or overseer of your souls. Peter is talking to all of these people, and he's using this very clear metaphor of sheep who've gone astray, who've got lost, but who have been brought back to follow the shepherd, the bishop of their souls, to follow Jesus as the shepherd. And I think it is significant that God describes his people as sheep, because as my friend said to me, sheep tend to stray and do their own thing. And even us as the people of God are always, I think, being tempted to do our own thing, and often to justify it and say, well, that's what God has told me to do, when we may not even have bothered to listen or to think or to consult with God. We tend to stray. That is what we say when often we feel ourselves being pulled away from Jesus rather than close towards Jesus. And sheep get lost and they wander into dangerous places. And sheep provide tasty meals for bears and wolves and lions. And they get kidnapped by rustlers. And you're all thinking of Shaun of the Sheep and other things. And they're well worth watching, because there's a lot of biblical lessons, because, as you know, one of the chief creators of those cartoons is actually a Christian. We are just dumb sheep. And sheep need shepherds. They need the shepherd, Jesus Christ, and they need good and faithful shepherds, pastors and teachers amongst the flock of God. Some of you may remember Pat Took, who was previously the Baptist regional team leader in London. And she took an interesting slant on the parable of the lost sheep. You'll remember it. The shepherd has 100 sheep and one sheep strays off, and the shepherd goes to look for it. And it's a picture of God's concern for the one lost, not just saying, well, I've got 99. But she took a very interesting slant as a pastor of over 30 years in the church. She said it was always difficult spending time looking for those Christians, those followers of Jesus who had wandered off or taken offense or whatever, or got involved with goodness knows what. It was always difficult, she found, because you could spend an awful lot of time in looking for those people. And when you came back, you found the other 99 had jumped over the fence and gone missing as well. The reality is that we are all in need of staying close to Jesus. And more than anything, as we see, listening to his voice. And today is all about following the voice of Jesus, because we're pilgrims on the journey, and pilgrims on the journey need to follow the voice of Jesus, to follow in his steps. And the sheep, you and I, will tend to stray unless we listen to the voice. You could almost feel, if you followed in somebody's footsteps, as long as you can see the footsteps, you could keep going. But we don't just need that footsteps, we need that voice of Jesus. We need that communication, which is why prayer is so much more than you and I have ever discovered. Prayer is praying in the everyday and listening to Jesus. And prayer is being in a monastery for 8 days and not talking and listening to Jesus. And prayer is many, many things that you and I do not yet know. And we are only just beginning to listen to the voice of Jesus, you and I. We are only just beginning to hear that. 2 weeks ago, Jeff reminded us, your life in Christ makes you strong. Not your qualifications, not who you know, not your credentials, not your health, but your life in Christ. And as we walk in his steps, and as we seek to imitate Jesus, Jeff said, we will have to make many choices. And it's difficult enough choosing who you're going to vote for as Mayor of London. Some people find it difficult choosing whether they're going to have a salad or a hot meal. But, you know, but there are all sorts of choices, how we will bring up our children, how we will live in relationship to our friends, how we will conduct ourselves at work and in our neighbourhood, how we will speak to people, how we will listen to people. And the thing we need to be able to do as those who are following Jesus is to distinguish the voice of God from all the other voices so that no one and nothing is manipulating us. No one and nothing is successful in persuading us to take shortcuts and to do unethical things, to fiddle, to lie, to steal, because those are the things that false shepherds teach people to lie and to steal. It's our identity in Jesus that gives us confidence and that gives us strength for this. And the day can come where hearing the voice of Jesus becomes as everyday as hearing other voices. And those saints who grow old in grace and have learned through many years to know the voice of Jesus and still know and have humility with it. So how are we doing? How am I doing? The footsteps we need to follow are the footsteps of the shepherd. And hopefully you know that shepherds in the Middle East always went in front of the sheep. They led the sheep. They didn't drive the sheep from the rear. And Jesus is talking about shepherding in this way, in leading by example. In Jesus facing the dangers before we face them. In Jesus going through situations and experiencing them before we ever have. Shepherds, in the terms of Jesus, lead from the front. They certainly don't use helicopters like they do on modern large farms. In many large farms, cattle ranches, sheep herds and so on, they will use now helicopters to move large flocks of animals. And Jesus is not that sort of leader. He's not hovering up there, you know. Jesus is intimately involved with his people. That is what the ascension is all about. Jesus filling the universe, not just being in heaven. You know, heaven is not so much a place as heaven being the very presence of God where there is joy. You know, it is about Jesus in the whole universe through the eternal Spirit of God leading. The Bible in both Testaments is full of the metaphor of God and his people, God as shepherd and us as sheep. So he comes to look for the lost sheep, but he also shepherds the flock, and particularly he shepherds the flock through the work of his eternal Spirit and through those he calls to be pastors and teachers within the church. And even within homes, parents as good shepherds of the flock as well. The shepherd king, David, cries, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Not a fluffy, cozy shepherd, but a shepherd who would go out and with his staff and with his knife kill the bear and the lion and the wolf that sought to destroy the flock, that would pick the ticks off and that would take the little lambs and sleep with them and keep them warm. The Lord is my shepherd, cried David. And Jesus, the shepherd king, cries, I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. Peter knew the importance of caring for and protecting and feeding the sheep because it was his second call, the call that Jesus gave to him at a beach barbecue. Do you love me? Tend my lambs. Do you love me? Feed my sheep. And Peter had to understand, and it is he that writes about the shepherd, the bishop, the guardian of our souls that we have been brought back to follow. Isaiah is clear in the Old Testament that all the people of God have gone astray, and the Lord has laid on him, the Messiah, the iniquity of us all, which is what we celebrate in the Lord's Supper, of course. At Passover, Jesus became our Passover lamb, taking our sin, becoming sin, destroying its power. And it's Ezekiel who's very clear that the religious leaders, the teachers, were false shepherds who fleeced the flock, and that a good shepherd, a true shepherd, was needed. And they spoke of the day when the true shepherd, the good shepherd, would come. Now, I think we do find it difficult because we are in an urban, post-industrial economy like our own. But we're clever enough, hopefully, to get a bit behind this imagery. And our shepherd becomes someone who is powerful and strong, and as far as the sheep are concerned, vital. Without the shepherd, there's a problem. If we could ping the next one up, that would be great. When Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd," he is contrasting himself with the other shepherds, the bad shepherds. If you want to think of them, the Pharisees and the scribes and the leaders within the temple system who were fleecing the flock, he declares into this, "I am the good shepherd." How do you define a good shepherd? Well, I am willing to die for the sheep. A hireling, an agency shepherd, would not be prepared to die for the sheep, but he is prepared to die. And this is what we are being called to. And pilgrimage, I'm saying here, is about learning to discern and choosing to follow the voice of Jesus. It's a lifelong learning. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. Jesus is here saying that he is the true voice of God and that we need to listen to him. Now that is controversial, not just when he said it, but it is controversial in our day, and it is what we are sharing with our friends, that Jesus is the voice of God. He is the word of God. We're told in John chapter 10, where this great passage about him being the true, the good shepherd, is that this teaching caused division. The Jews were divided about what he was saying and what he was claiming. And it is true today, as we declare Jesus is the voice of God. Indeed, he is actually the face of the invisible God that we see, that it will cause division. People will have to choose about that. And hopefully it's not, you know, it may be a climactic point, but often it's a period of decision and reviewing and thinking and seeking and asking what Jesus actually said. You know, it's not going into the sweet shop and seeing all the sweetie jars, and it doesn't really matter what you choose, as long as you experience it, which is the great postmodern teaching. You know, I'll have a bit of that, I'll have a bit of that, try a bit of that, you know. But it is actually looking at what Jesus says, and he is actually claiming to be the true voice of God. We have inner choices to make. We constantly will have to choose whether we follow his teaching or whether we go our own way. We will need the help of God in that. And many of those who say they follow Jesus still tend towards instability of behaviour. And I'm still unstable at times. You know, we begin as babies in this, and we need to grow to childhood and adolescence and to maturity, and beyond that to wisdom. But often there is instability in behaviour. There can be a lack of humility in the way we conduct ourselves as Christians. And the world can be confused if they see us as Jekyll and Hyde. You know what I mean by that? That we seem to change our personality overnight or at different times in the day. And we really can't afford to lead a Jekyll and Hyde type existence. It's not good for us, this mixture of light and darkness in our actions, but it's not good for others. But we need to realise that there's a slow work of God, okay? A slow work of the Holy Spirit. It's thorough And it's deep, it's from the inside out, and that is why the Holy Spirit comes to work within us and asking our cooperation. So pilgrimage is about learning to discern and choosing to follow the voice of Jesus consistently. That's a deeper description, I think, of following in his footsteps. Following in his footsteps means you need to live the way he lived. And we need the voice of God. He has left us this example, but not just an example. He continues to speak. There is a voice to follow. Key question is, how do we hear the voice of God? And that comes up again and again in Alpha. And when you talk with people, how do I hear God speak? Some people seem to make it so easy, and it is for many of us a big struggle to work through on that. It's a very key question, one we need to talk about a lot and listen to other people and share with them on. I'm suggesting that pilgrimage is about learning to discern and choosing to follow the voice of Jesus. There are many, many voices calling us to follow in the world out there. And there are also voices in here, inside me, inside you, calling us to make choices. Jesus compares the children of his generation to those who will dance to many different tunes. He says, the world is like a marketplace, and different people pipe a tune, and some people join in with that, and some people join in with another. But how actually is truth to be found? And he argues that truth will be found by the children that it actually bears, not just the fact about who we say we follow, but those we give birth to. Many would be unable to recognize the voice of God. In fact, all of us, I think, are unable unless God helps us to do that. And that is what Jesus says in John chapter 8. He said also that there are those who could not recognize in him the voice of God. He said quite simply, you do not recognize the voice of God. Even though you had all the scriptures, all the prophets, all these things, yet when I come, you don't recognize me for who I am. How well do we know the voice of the Good Shepherd Jesus, the shepherd, the bishop of our souls? We need to be able to distinguish the voice of strangers from the voice of Jesus, and especially voices that will lead us into dangerous ground and expose us to personal risk. As well as reading the Bible, I'm a great believer in people reading novels and seeing films, reading poetry and looking at pictures, because God has filled the universe and his creative gifts have been given to all people, not just to his followers. And in all of those things, Jane and I went to see a play at the National Theatre that's left me sort of reeling all week thinking, in all of those things, we see, I think, humanity observed and described and thought about. Now, some are bad and you want to throw them in the dustbin and not see them again, but they give us powerful insights and they're very useful. So whether you are a film watcher or a book reader, but in all of that, we have to steer a course. And I want to suggest that there is one book that enables us to steer a course through all the dramas and the poetry and the pictures and the plays and the dramas, the films and so on that we watch, that enables us to steer a route through all of that morass of things which are of the flesh and of the spirit and of the soul and so on. And that is the Bible. That enables us to hear God's voice through all of that. But all the other things in many ways are great blessings to enable us to think and to reflect. The last slide, if that's okay, and then we're going to draw it together. Learning to recognize the voice of Jesus. I've said here, I don't know any shortcuts. And I do think many of us as human beings, not all of us, we want a shortcut. We want a quick solution. We'd quite like, because we are terrific consumers, And having just visited Westfield on Bank Holiday Monday, I'm never going there again on a bank holiday. We want to consume. I don't. I want to get out. But my experience of the week of prayer was feeling just tremendous oppression in the middle of Westfield. I just felt I was going into an experience of mammon and spiritual poverty. But, you know, it was quite something. But we want to take something off the shelf, an article in a magazine, you know, and read it and say, or a YouTube clip and say, I'm going to do that. You know, I'm going to fast for 11 days and then I'm going to be detoxed and I'm going to be wonderful and whatever. You know, we want to pick something off the shelf. Do you know what I mean? And actually, there are no shortcuts. There are no shortcuts to learning to recognize the voice of Jesus. But there has to be a beginning, like a child learning to listen and to concentrate and to speak, you know. Learning to recognize the voice of Jesus is certainly not something we do in isolation from other followers of Jesus. And that's one big mistake. Nobody can hear the voice of Jesus in isolation, and I'll try and explain why in a moment. Although Christians have been put in solitary confinement, but they've already been at work with God's people. They already know God's word, which was created in community. The Bible's not written by one person. It's written by many, many authors. The Bible is understood by Christians working together to understand it. It is all done in community. The Bible is designed to be read out loud and discussed, I believe, rather than just people studying in isolation, although that can be important as well. Learning to recognize the voice of Jesus is certainly not something we can do in isolation from other followers. Sometimes it does require some time on our own with Jesus, though. We need to read as well about what other followers of Jesus have written, particularly the Bible, but also in other things that people have written. So I've written here, learning to recognize the voice of Jesus. We do this with other followers of Jesus and not in isolation, which is why we're to be part of communities of faith, not just attend churches. We're actually to be a part of community. We are his friends, he said, if we do what he commands, and he will tell us what he has heard from the Father. You know which chapter that comes in? Anybody tell me? Where Jesus says, you are my friends if you do what I've commanded you. Pretty close. John 15. So all the stuff on the vine. He said, you are my friends. I will share what I've heard from the Father. And if you do what I command, you're my friends. So with other followers of Jesus and not in isolation, what is crucial is Jesus as revealed in the Bible, as having authority in our lives and speaking to us, properly understanding what is being revealed and taught to us. But also the life stories of the saints of God. And I don't particularly mean the people that stained glass windows are made into. I mean the life stories of ordinary people who are made extraordinary because they live in the Holy Spirit and follow Jesus. And they were those, we're all called to be saints of God, the holy ones, but those life stories that we may read, that we may see in film, that will stir us up, and learning how, and watching how they learn to listen to God. Learning to listen to Jesus and discerning the spirits. Don't want to go too much into that, but the place of Scripture, which is actually able to divide and enable us to know which is of our flesh, which is of our soul, what is of our spirit, so that we can learn to know the truth and choose to be closer to Jesus, the consolation of Jesus, rather than moving the other way into desolation and not knowing Jesus. Jesus declares himself the true shepherd. And it is this life example of Jesus that's so clearly documented in the Gospels. Where else would we go for the accounts of Jesus, but to Scripture, to his teachings, to learn his voice, in all that he has said, specifically and in many other occasions, so in the Sermons on the Mount, in Matthew 5 to 7, are vital. His interactions with people, learning to know how Jesus speaks, but also listening to Jesus, even if it's only for 10 minutes a day, I plead with you to make that opportunity, whether you have to sit in the park or in a building that's quiet or somewhere, and that is going to be very hard for all of you. Stop feeling sorry for yourself if you're a parent and you haven't got time to listen. You had the children, so find a time to listen. I'm sorry, that's as a childless person. And if you're single and so busy because you're doing everything that maybe a couple would do, so you have to do the lot, still make time. And if you're working, still make time, because you are missing out, okay? And Jesus is drawing you and wanting to talk to you. He is there and drawing you. So no sympathy vote today. I'm actually saying we are missing out if we are not stopping and being quiet in the presence of the Lord, okay? We can all compare ourselves to one another and say, they've got it easier than me, or they've got it tougher than me. But Jesus wants us as friends to talk with us. And he's calling us. He knows all the issues and how tough it is and how you feel. Okay? But please do, because you will then have so much to thank God for. There won't be time to do it. But I can tell you, everything else will crowd Jesus out otherwise. Jesus is the true shepherd. Are we the true sheep? That's the question that we go with into communion, and where no doubt we'll say often, I'm not true to you, Lord, but I really want to follow more closely. My sheep recognize my voice. They will not follow another. So learning to follow that voice. So between you and me, you don't have to do that. That you can, in this communion meal, you can say to the Lord, I would like, Lord, to be able to discern your voice more clearly, whether it's easy or difficult. I would like it for myself, but also when people come to talk to me, I will be able to listen. And maybe I will have something I can share with them, maybe that can help them. Or they can tell me themselves, they can stop and slow down enough to tell me what they really think they should be doing. Let's just be still for a moment, shall we?